Today, we are in the series of messages called Perfecting Our Faith. And we have, in each week, we have seen a part of this outline that is our purpose in these messages, where we know that God requires faith of us. It is impossible to please God without faith. Jesus initiates that faith. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. But our faith ends up being challenged because of the situations that we faced, or even like we saw last week, the testing of God. Sometimes God will test us to check out our faith, where we're at with our faith, as he did with Abraham in his test to offer up his son Isaac. So we face those faith challenges, and it's an opportunity for our faith to be developed. We don't want to take the choice of our faith, of abandoning our faith, but that happens sometimes with individuals. So we want instead our faith to be developed. And the Lord has given us examples of people and their successful response to the faith challenge, and that's what we're seeing all through Hebrews 11. This is really kind of an outline, or Hebrews 11 is our outline for our messages that we've been going through. And these examples and encouragement for our own faith challenges, because, you know, why would God give us these examples other than to show us we're going to face similar situations? And so it is with the message that we have today, where we're talking about the blessing and the blessing by faith. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 20 and 21, we see the example that we are given of the blessing that was pronounced upon young people. And in, again, Hebrews 11, 20, it was by faith that Isaac promised blessings for the future of his sons, Jacob and Esau. It was by faith that Jacob, when he was old and dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and bowed in worship as he leaned on his staff. So here we're going to look at the blessing that was imparted from two different people, two different ones. First of all, from Isaac to his sons, Jacob and Esau, and then from Jacob to his grandsons, to the sons of Joseph and Manasseh and Ephraim. So let's go ahead and go back to Genesis chapter 25, and we're going to look, first of all, at the Battle of the Bulge. Just a little attempt at humor here with what is going on within the womb of Rebecca. In chapter 25, Genesis chapter 25, and verses 19 through 26, first of all, we'll look at that. This is the account of the family of Isaac, the son of Abraham. When Isaac was 40 years old, he married Rebekah, the daughter of Bethuel, of the Aramean, from Padan Aram, and the sister of Laban, the Aramean. Isaac pleaded with the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was unable to have children. The Lord answered Isaac's prayer, and Rebekah became pregnant with twins. But the two children struggled with each other in her womb. So she went to ask the Lord about it. "Why is this happening to me?" she asked. And the Lord told her, "The sons in your womb will become two nations. From the very beginning, the two nations will be rivals. One nation will be stronger than the other, and your older son will serve your younger son." And when the time came to give birth, Rebekah discovered that she did indeed have twins. The first one was very red at birth and covered with thick hair like a fur coat. So they named him Esau. Then the other twin was born with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So they named him Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when the twins were born. Okay, so first of all, here we see Esau and Jacob struggled in the womb. Even on the way out of the womb, Jacob's going, "Hey, hang on here, buddy." In fact, I think probably Jacob was trying to pull him back in, say, "Hey, you, no, me first, me first." You know, they've been struggling inside the womb. And she says, "What's going on, Lord?" And the word of the Lord came and said, actually, there's going to be two rival nations that are going to come from these two. And he made this statement. He said, "The older son will serve the younger." Okay, so this is the word of the Lord at even before the birth of these two boys. This is what's going on in the inside. You know, this is kind of the initiation of Isaac and Rebekah and the beginning of their family and so forth. But it's a really neat story how Isaac came to marry Rebecca due to the faithful servanthood of Eliezer, Abraham, Isaac's father, Abraham's servant. He goes to his homeland to bring back a wife of their own people. And, you know, I'm really glad for, if you could read back through the chapter 24 and see how that happened. But, you know, I'm really glad for the newer translations. You know, the older translations of Scripture, for a long time I thought that Rebecca was a smoker, because it says that when she saw Isaac, she lit off her camel. But newer translations finally straightened it out for me back in 25 verse 64, when Rebecca looked up and saw Isaac, she quickly dismounted from her camel. So whew, I found out that she didn't have that problem that she had to deal with. So anyway, let's move on. Okay, quickly. Next part I call birthright stew, and that is in chapter 25 and verses 27 through 34. It says, as the boys grew up, Esau became a skillful hunter. He was an outdoorsman, but Jacob had a quiet temperament, preferring to stay at home. Isaac loved Esau because he enjoyed eating the wild game Esau brought home, but Rebekah loved Jacob. One day, when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau arrived home from the wilderness, exhausted and hungry. Esau said to Jacob, "I'm starved. Give me some of that red stew." This is how Esau got his other name, Edom, which means red. "All right," Jacob replied, "but trade me your birthright. Trade me your right as the firstborn son." "Look, I'm dying of starvation," said Esau. "What good is a birthright to me now?" Okay, he's going a little extreme there. "I'm dying anyway. Might as well give it up." But Jacob said, "Excuse me, first you must swear that your birthright is mine." So Esau swore an oath, thereby selling all his rights as the firstborn to his brother Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and lentil stew. Esau ate the meal, then got up and left. He showed contempt for his right as the firstborn. So here we see the action, you know, the kind of the compulsive action of Esau. And Jacob, I'm going to call him the culinary artist, okay, he enjoyed being at home. And he was cooking this stew. And Esau comes, he's the hunter, he's the big he-man, and he comes in, he says, "I'm hungry, give me some of that stew." "All right, I will, but swear that your birthright is mine." And so it says that Esau swore an oath showing contempt for his birthright. Now, it doesn't say what that oath was, but I can imagine it went along the lines of something like this. Lentil porridge hot, lentil porridge cold. What good is my birthright if I die young instead of old? I'll take my lentil porridge hot as into my bowl it pours. The birthright which once was mine, I give it, so now it is yours. Delicious. Sorry, moving on again quickly. Delicious. Okay, little inside joke there with my daughter. Blessing Jacob and Esau, then we see in chapter 27 of Genesis chapter 27. It says, one day when Isaac was old and turning blind, he called for Esau, his older son, and said, "My son." "Yes, father," Esau replied. "I'm an old man now," Isaac said, and I don't know when I may die. "Take your bow and quiver full of arrows and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare my favorite dish and bring it here for me to eat. Then I will pronounce the blessing that belongs to you, my firstborn son, before I die." But Rebekah overheard what Isaac had said to his son Esau. So when Esau left to hunt for the wild game, she said to her son Jacob, "Listen, I overheard your father say to Esau, 'Bring me some wild game and prepare me a delicious meal. Then I will bless you in the Lord's presence before I die.' Now, my son, listen to me Do exactly as I tell you. Go out to the flocks and bring me 2 fine young goats. I'll use them to prepare your father's favorite dish. Then take the food to your father so he can eat it and bless you before he dies. But look, Jacob replied to Rebekah, my brother Esau is a hairy man, and my skin is smooth. What if my father touches me? He'll see that I'm trying to trick him, and then he'll curse me instead of blessing me. But his mother replied, let the curse fall on me, my son. Just do what I tell you to do. Go out and get the goats for me. So Jacob went out and got the young goats for his mother. Rebekah took them and prepared a delicious meal just the way Isaac liked it. Then she took Esau's favorite clothes, which were there in the house, and gave them to her younger son, Jacob. She covered his arms with the smooth part and the smooth part of his neck with the skin of the young goats. Then she gave Jacob the delicious meal, including fresh baked bread. Okay, well, let's look at a couple of things here. First of all, we see that Isaac and Rebekah kind of have their favorites. And part of it is based on, as we see here, Isaac loved the kind of stuff that Esau would bring home and cook up. And so he was partially led by his tummy, but he was also being led by law or by what was customary, in that he's going to bless his firstborn son, who, remember, of the twins, Esau was the first one out. And so Isaac is going to bless Esau, but instead, Jacob receives the blessing of the firstborn. He does this as a result of their trickery. Okay, then look at verse 17. We're going to continue on. And and we'll see here it says, I'm going to go to the next slide. It says, so Jacob took the food to his father, and he said, I'll start again. Verse 18. So Jacob took the food to his father. My father, he said. Yes, my son, Isaac answered. Who are you, Esau or Jacob? Jacob replied, it's Esau, your firstborn son. I've done as you told me. Here is the wild game. Now sit up and eat it so you can give me your blessing. Isaac said, how did you find it so quickly, my son? Oh, the Lord your God put it in my path, Jacob replied. Then Isaac said to Jacob, come closer so I can touch you and make sure that you really are Esau. So Jacob went closer to his father, and Isaac touched him. The voice is Jacob's, but the hands are Esau's, Isaac said. But he did not recognize Jacob, because Jacob's hands felt hairy, just like Esau's. So Isaac prepared to bless Jacob. But are you really my son Esau? He asked. Yes, I am, Jacob replied. Then Isaac said, now, my son, bring me the wild game. Let me eat it, and then I will give you my blessing. So Jacob took the food to his father, and Isaac ate. He also drank the wine that Jacob served him. Then Isaac said to Jacob, please come a little closer and kiss me, my son. So Jacob went over and kissed him. And when Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he was finally convinced, and he blessed his son. He said, ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of the outdoors, which the Lord has blessed. From the dew of heaven and the riches of the earth, may God always give you abundant harvest of grain and bountiful new wine. May many nations become your servants, and may they bow down to you. May you be the master over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. All who curse you will be cursed, and all who bless you will be blessed. Okay, so in a fashion that was of trickery, Rebekah and Jacob make it so that Jacob receives the father's blessing of the firstborn. Now, let's go on in verse 30 here. As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and almost before Jacob had left his father, Esau returned from his hunt. Esau prepared a delicious meal and brought it to his father. Then he said, sit up, my father, and eat my wild game so you can give me your blessing. But Isaac asked him, who are you? Esau replied, it's your son, your firstborn son, Esau. Isaac began to tremble uncontrollably and said, then who just served me wild game? I've already eaten it, and I blessed him just before you came. And yes, the blessing must stand. When Esau heard his father's words, he let out a loud and bitter cry. "Oh, my father, what about me? Bless me too," he begged. But Isaac said, "Your brother was here, and he tricked me, and he has taken away your blessing." Esau exclaimed, "No wonder his name is Jacob, for now he has cheated me twice. First he took my rights as the firstborn, and now he has stolen my blessing. Oh, haven't you saved even one blessing for me?" Isaac said to Esau, "I've made Jacob your master and have declared that all his brothers will be his servants. I've guaranteed him an abundance of grain and wine. What is left for me to give you, my son?" Esau pleaded, "But do you have only one blessing? Oh, my father, bless me too." Then Esau broke down and wept. Finally, his father Isaac said to him, "You will live away from the richness of the earth and away from the dew of the heaven above. You will live by your sword and you will serve your brother. But when you decide to break free, you will shake his yoke from your neck." Okay, so here Esau returns and Jacob's just squeaked out of the way, and Esau then attempts to receive that blessing, and Isaac says it's too late, the blessing's been given. And Esau says, "I have been cheated," or "I've been twice tricked." And, you know, I put the question mark there because, you know, is that true? Was he twice tricked or was he twice cheated? Not really. Yeah, because the first one, he gave it up, didn't he? And the second really is a result of the first. You know, God says that Esau had contempt for his birthright, selling it up for a pot of stew, and he did that willingly, knowingly, gave an oath that, yeah, this birthright thing, that's yours, I'm hungry, and what good is it if I die young anyway? So he was not tricked. He willingly gave it up. And really, I believe that part of the result of this is because of what he had done previously. Now we look at it and we say, no, the only reason that Jacob got this blessing was because Isaac was tricked, because they went to Isaac was tricked, and Isaac couldn't see, and Isaac didn't know, and so Isaac was fooled into doing this. But it actually, you know, we're not going to defend Jacob and Rebekah. What they did was wrong. But what we can see this, they're not justified in what they did. But God is justified in his purpose being fulfilled even beyond the sin of man. Okay, so when man tries to do things their own way, God can even override that to see that his purposes and his will is done. So the point of this is it wasn't just by trickery that this blessing came upon Jacob instead of Esau. And remember, it was spoken at the very first, before they were even out of the womb, that the younger would be master over the elder. But so anyway, Jacob becomes master, Esau becomes servant, then according to this blessing. And as a result of that, then Esau hated Jacob. Esau hated Jacob. And but remember that God had determined the matter at birth. Now when we go back to the phrase from Hebrews that by faith Jacob, or by faith Isaac spoke blessing over Jacob and Esau, really there wasn't much blessing spoken over Esau other than when he, as it says, when he, the father said, "When you decide to break free, you will shake this yoke from your neck." And I think what that means is, Esau, when you're going to break free of your anger and resentment and your bitterness and your hatred towards Jacob, then his yoke won't be over you anymore. That's really kind of about the only blessing that was there left. But the blessing, and blessing by faith. See, Isaac had no knowledge, no circumstantial knowledge that these things were going to happen, that Jacob would be the master over his brother. You know, he didn't have, in fact, if you were to look at the circumstances, you'd say, well, you know, Esau, he's the strong and he's the mighty, he's the warrior, he's the hunter, he's the one that's going to rule. You know, Jacob's just this little houseboy or whatever, you know. And so anyway, you know, what would have appeared to be, you know, like circumstantial, you know, that Isaac was not speaking. He was speaking the words of the Lord according to the will of God. He was speaking prophetically, and those words were to come true, and he understood that. And that's why he, you know, really said to Esau, you know, the blessing stands. The blessing stands. I have spoken those words prophetically over Esau, over Jacob, and those blessings stand. Now, we see in other scriptures, I'm going to show you this from Hebrews 12, verses 16 and 17. It says, make sure that no one is immoral or godless like Esau, who traded his birthright as the firstborn son for a single meal. You know that afterward, when he wanted his father's blessing, he was rejected. It was too late for repentance, even though he begged with bitter tears. So there's New Testament reference made to what happened and Esau's contempt for his birthright and giving it up that like that. He says, don't do that. Don't be immoral or godless like Esau, who traded his birthright. Also in Romans 9, I'm just going to make reference to this. I'm not going to have you turn there. You can on your own sometime. But in Romans 9, 10 through 16, it speaks about that before they were born, Rebekah received a message from God that the older would serve the younger. That's quoted in that scripture. And obviously we saw that in Genesis, that she received this word of the Lord that the older would serve the younger. And it also says in that passage that God loved Jacob but rejected Esau. Now again, some of the older translations like King James says God hated Esau. And you might, if you're reading through that and you read that, you might go, wow, what's up with that? I thought God loved everyone. And here it says God hated Esau. And actually, that is a quote from Malachi chapter 1 and verses 2 and 3. But what I want you to see in this is don't get tripped up with that word hated. First of all, understand Eastern hyperbole, that they spoke in extremes to define the difference. And where love meant to favor, the word hate was used meaning to favor less or to love less. And in fact, there's a significant comparison of those words made in... let's see, I wrote down the reference here. In Genesis 29, we're right there. Why don't you just turn the page a little bit. Genesis 29 and verse 31. It says, when the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, he enabled her to have children, but Rachel could not conceive. When the Lord saw that she was unloved, it uses that word unloved there. But if you back up in verse 30, it says, so Jacob slept with Rachel too, and he loved her much more than Leah. He then stayed and worked for Laban the additional 7 years. Doesn't mean that Jacob did not love Leah. It's just that he favored Rachel more than Leah. Okay? So there was a greater love for her. And there's that extreme comparison made. And that's what we see going on with Esau and with Jacob. Okay, so let's go on to the next blessing, and that is the blessing of Joseph's sons. Remember in Hebrews 11, it said, by faith Jacob, now Jacob was on the receiving end of that blessing from his father Isaac, and now Jacob is the one that's old, and he's going to be passing on his blessing to Joseph's sons. And this is in Genesis chapter 48. One day, not long after after this word came to Joseph, your father is failing rapidly. So Joseph went to visit his father, and he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. When Joseph arrived, Jacob was told, your son Joseph has come to see you. So Jacob gathered his strength and sat up in his bed. Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. He said to me, I will make you fruitful and I will multiply your descendants. I will make you a multitude of nations, and I will give this land of Canaan to your descendants after you as an everlasting possession. Now I am claiming as my own sons these two boys of yours, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born here in the land of Egypt before I arrived. They will be my sons, just as Reuben and Simeon are. But any children born to you in the future will be your own, and they will inherit land within the territories of their brothers Ephraim and Manasseh. Long ago, I was returning from Paddan Aram. Rachel died in the land of Canaan. We were still on our way, some distance from Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. So with great sorrow, I buried her there beside the road to Ephrath. Then Jacob looked over at the two boys. Are these your sons? He asked. Yes, Joseph said to him, these are the sons God has given me here in Egypt. And Jacob said, bring them closer to me so I can bless them. Jacob was half blind because of his age and could hardly see. So Joseph brought the boys close to him, and Jacob kissed and embraced them. Then Jacob said to Joseph, I never thought I would see your face again, but now God has let me see your children too. Okay, so first of all, here we see what happens is that Joseph's sons are adopted as Jacob's own. He said, the sons that were born to you in Egypt, I'm going to make them my own sons. So he adopts Joseph's sons as his own. And he hugs on them, kisses on them. He says, come here, come to Papa Jake. And so he's enjoying those, his grandchildren. And he says, God, not only let me see your face. Remember, Joseph had been sold into slavery, and his brothers came back and said, oh, a lion tore him up. Here's his bloody favorite robe, you know, that you gave him, the robe of many colors. He's dead. Joseph, so Jacob thought Joseph was dead. And so here's where he's saying, you know, God has not only let me see your face, but your children too. And so then let's go ahead and we'll look at the crisscross blessing versus the firstborn. We see this in verses 12 through 20. Joseph moved the boys who were at their grandfather's knees, and he bowed with his face to the ground. Then he positioned the boys in front of Jacob. With his right hand, he directed Ephraim toward Jacob's left hand. And with his left hand, he put Manasseh at Jacob's right hand. But Jacob crossed his arms as he reached out to lay his hands on the boys' heads. He put his right hand on the head of Ephraim, though he was the younger boy, and his left hand on the head of Manasseh, though he was the firstborn. Then he blessed Joseph and said, may the God before whom my grandfather Abraham and my father Isaac walked, the Lord God, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this very day, the angel who has redeemed me from all harm, may he bless these boys. May they preserve my name, and may the names of Abraham and Isaac, and the names of Abraham and Isaac, and may their descendants multiply greatly throughout the earth. But Joseph was upset when he saw that his father had placed his right hand on Ephraim's head. So Joseph lifted it to move it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. No, my father, he said, this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head. But his father refused. I know, my son, I know, he replied. Manasseh will also become a great people, but his younger brother will become even greater, and his descendants will become a multitude of nations. So Jacob blessed the boys that day with this blessing. The people of Israel will use your names when they give a blessing. They will say, may God make you as prosperous as Ephraim and Manasseh. In this way, Jacob put Ephraim ahead of Manasseh. Excuse me. So again, we're making a comparison here between the crisscross blessing versus the blessing of the firstborn. Now, as a, you know, just picture old man Jacob, you know, he's sitting there, and Joseph comes up and he positions them just right. Okay, Manasseh's firstborn takes his left hand and puts him at the right hand of Jacob. Okay, takes Ephraim, puts him at the left hand of Jacob because he's the firstborn. He should get the right hand blessing. See, there was significance to the right hand. The right hand in the Bible always has the idea of the favored position because it's generally speaking the right hand is the hand of strength or the hand of skill. You know, it's like Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, the favored position. So the right hand was the one of favor, and in Joseph's mind, that should have gone to the firstborn receiving the greater favor, the greater blessing. But Jacob says no. You know, and you wonder why was he doing this? Again, I believe it speaks to a variety of things. It says that Jacob put Ephraim ahead of Manasseh, and but I also believe that it speaks to the sovereignty of God. God was working through that situation, whether it was to Jacob's knowledge or Jacob, or maybe Jacob was going, you know, I remember a situation way back where the younger got the firstborn blessing, and I think that was kind of cool, speaking of himself. And Jacob may have said, you know, I'm going to favor this younger one as well. And so he crisscrosses his arms and gives the right-hand blessing to the younger, to Ephraim. And it's just kind of interesting, you know, but I believe it's more than that. I don't think it was just the favoritism of Jacob. I believe it was the sovereignty of God. God is working through this situation, just like God worked through the situation of Isaac blessing Jacob and Esau. That they, it was according to the will of God. God had spoken that at their birth, that the younger is going to rule over the older. And so here it is here. And there's, like I said, there's a variety of things. I believe it speaks to, you know, we see in many scriptural examples the younger one receiving the favored blessing. If you think about Abraham, it wasn't Ishmael, his firstborn, but Isaac that received the blessing. With Isaac, again, it wasn't Esau, but it was Jacob. With Jacob, it wasn't Reuben, the firstborn, but remember that Joseph, who was the youngest one at that point, was the favored one and given the robe of many colors and favored by his father and so forth. And here again is Jacob not giving that favored blessing to Manasseh, but to Ephraim. So what we see is the hand of God working in not just the legal way, the law way, but in his way of his sovereignty and his will. I think there's another statement that is being said here in all of these youngest ones receiving the blessing, and I'm about to make this one of the cardinal doctrines, and that is that God has favor for babies of the family. How many of you would say amen? Amen. Yes, very good. I can tell who the babies are. Yeah, I have fun with Katie with that all the time. I said, high five for the babies, Katie. You know, we are the completers of the family. The family would not have been complete without us, you know. So you guys, you know, the babies, we got a cool place and we're favored by God. I was just kidding when I was talking about one of the cardinal doctrines. Okay, that's not really real. But anyway, I think the other thing that we see in here is in all these things, we're seeing a type of what God does in his mercy. And I've tossed in a couple of scriptures that I haven't given you in your notes. You can just write these down. But Galatians 3:13-14 speaks about Christ becoming the curse for us that we might receive the blessing of Abraham. So it's there like God's only begotten Son was rejected, okay, on the cross when he took our sin. The other passage of Scripture is 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin. And in that, he took our sins so that we could be made right with God, so we could receive the favored position of being made right with God. There's this mercy of God that is expressed in that way. We see it through Scripture, and we see it in Jesus as well. But the point of this message is not just to look at the historical examples of people being blessed or fathers blessing their children, even their grandchildren. But, you know, what is the lesson for us in this? Again, you know, the scripture is, these verses in scripture in Hebrews 11 are given as examples for us that when we will do things by faith like these who blaze the trail before us. So we need to see the examples as, okay, what do we do with our kids? There is something to be said in here about the blessing of our children and blessing them by faith. First of all, we have the example of Jesus. And Jesus says, you know, the disciples were pushing the kids away. You know, get these noisy, you know, active things out of his way. They're going to make him mad. And Jesus saw what was happening, and he was angry with his disciples. And he said to them, let the children come to me. Don't stop them, for the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these. I tell you the truth, anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child will never enter it. Then he took the children up in his arms and placed his hands on their heads and blessed them. It's like, may the Lord God Almighty be with you. You know, blessing these children. And that's something that we do, and I love to do it in our child dedication, is laying the hands upon the heads of these children and speaking the blessings of the Lord over them. It is a biblical, scriptural thing to do. We have the example of the Old Testament patriarchs, and we have the example of Jesus. Proverbs 18:21. Now I'm going to start talking about the way that you use your tongue with your kids. Okay, the way that you bless them or curse them. Because you can do either with your tongue. As it says in Proverbs 18:21, the tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. In other words, you're going to get the things that you say. And if you're speaking curses over your kids instead of blessings over your kids, that's what you're going to get. There's power in the words that you speak. We need to realize that, particularly when we're speaking over our children. Okay, Proverbs 15. I haven't given you, I'll give you some examples. I just summarized it in this, in the value of the words that you speak. But in these various verses of Proverbs 15, verse 1 says, a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare. Verse 2, the tongue of the wise makes knowledge appealing, but the mouth of a fool belches out foolishness. I just want to say, belches out, belches out. You need to say that with that word, belches out foolishness. Okay. It came from back there. I'm looking up a little higher, though. Someone got it. Anyway, okay. Belches out foolishness. Verse 4, gentle words are a tree of life. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. Verse 7, the lips of the wise give good advice. The heart of a fool has none to give. Verse 23, everyone enjoys a fitting reply. It is wonderful to say the right thing at the right time. So, you know, that just speaks of the value of your words, and particularly when we're talking about our kids. And realize this, okay, moms and dads, maybe your kids are all grown up. But you know, how old was Esau when he was speaking over his kids? Or how old were his kids? They were grown up. How old was Jacob when he was speaking blessings over his grandchildren? You know, it's never too late to start blessing and speaking these blessings over your kids. You know, I'm just going to toss this in. Abraham, the scripture says Abraham was chosen because he would teach these things to his children. I've singled him out so that he will direct his sons and their families to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just. Then I will do for Abraham all that I have promised. Genesis 18:19. I've singled him out. He was chosen because he would teach these things to his children. Speak over them the blessing of their spiritual inheritance. And this may be by faith. Remember, Isaac blessed Esau and Jacob by faith. He spoke words over them by faith. And we may be speaking over our children by faith. First of all, speaking over them the call of God on their life. You may not know exactly what that call is yet, but we know there is a call of God on our children's lives. So speaking over them that they will walk in that call. We know that they have a bent. In Proverbs 22 and verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way or in the bent he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from that. The guys were challenged with that this last Thursday night in the men's fraternity about understanding your child's bent and giving them direction that way and not trying to change their bent, not trying to make a hunter out of a man who likes to stay home and cook, you know, like Jacob and Esau, or not trying to make Esau stay in the kitchen when he's a man built for hunting. You know, that kind of, it was their bent. And our kids have their bents, and we're to train them up in the bent that they have. Okay, so understanding that, blessing them in that way. And blessing them in their place in the kingdom of God. You know, like the scriptures speak, and I'm just going to toss these out here real quick, but the scriptures speak about us being delivered from the dominion of darkness, transferred to the kingdom of God's dear Son. The scriptures speak about us being seated at the right hand of God in Christ. These are all scriptural, biblical inheritance, kingdom of God inheritance that you can speak over your kids, their place in the kingdom of God. Walking in the steps ordered of the Lord, the scripture says that the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. The steps of a righteous person are ordered of the Lord. Their life reflecting God's recorded book of their life. I've shared that with you a number of times. Psalms 139 says God has a book in which he has inscribed all the days of your life, even before you have lived one of them. So speak that over your children, that the blessing of the Lord is that you walk in the ways that he has already inscribed in a book in heaven about you, that you would walk in the steps he has ordered for you, that you are seated at the right hand of God in Christ Jesus. You're just speaking those blessings. There's children blessings, from Psalm 128. speaks about children being arrows in the hands of a warrior, speaks about children being vigorous young olive trees as they sit around your table. In other words, there's fruitfulness in your children. You speak that blessing over them. You know, we don't have to know their future to be speaking blessings over them. We can, by faith, speak the blessings of their inheritance to your children and see the power of your faith-filled words bring life to them. I believe the example in Hebrews is given to us as an example for us to speak over not only our children, but like Jacob did with Ephraim and Manasseh, to even speak over our grandchildren, the blessing of the Lord, the blessing of their spiritual inheritance in the kingdom of God, the blessing of their eternal inheritance. We don't need to sit there and figure out what our bank account is or what our insurance funds or those kinds of things are to figure out what kind of an inheritance our children or our grandchildren are going to have. You know, and you may sit there, well, I don't have anything to pass on. You know, what's the use of blessing them? We have so much in a spiritual heritage and inheritance to pass on to our kids and to speak over them, to be teaching them like Abraham did his children. And also to be imparting to them with the words of life that we speak over them, not words of cursing and tearing your kids down. So many times we do that, not maybe even intentionally, but it's so natural because we're natural to be negative until we are renewed in the spirit of our mind, until we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that's when we start speaking blessings over our kids and sharing with and imparting to them their spiritual heritage and their spiritual inheritance. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Father, there's been a lot in this message, and I realize just the information of what took place in the Old Testament. You see a lot of things that raise questions about the deceptiveness of Rebekah and Jacob and how they got that blessing, and was that okay, was that right, and just even the things that were done, and like I said, it raises a lot of questions, but we know that you have answers for us, and you help us to understand, and you help bring it down to the bottom line thing for us, that we ought to be living in a way and speaking in such a way that we are passing on blessing, spiritual blessing, to our children and even to our grandchildren. Help us to be conscious of that, Lord, and help us to do it even if it's by faith. We may not see circumstantial things that would speak to these blessings coming to pass or being enacted, but Lord, we speak them out by faith because we know that it's the position that you have given us in the Word of God concerning our children who are following after the Lord, and even if they're not following after the Lord, we can speak that blessing of them following after the Lord as they are. According to the Word of God, they are, as a result, they are, I'm having trouble with the words, but believing parents, the children are made right as a result of believing parents. So Father, we just want to offer this up to you and pray that you would help us in our walk in this way with our kids and our grandkids. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I got to show you that scripture. Sorry, I just got fumbled up in the prayer.